All right, what is going on? What is going on, pre-PTs? Welcome to another pre-PT chat live. We are so glad you're here. I'm Casey, this is Joseph, and at pre-PT Grind, this is where we help you get into physical therapy school or PTA school without wasting time, money, stress, anxiety, or everything in between. And we also make sure you know how to make money while you're in school so you don't do all this work to become a physical therapist only to get there and regret your decision, not because of physical therapy, but because of money. So if that vibes with you, if that's what you're looking for, if that clicks with you, then you are in the right place. Go ahead and like, subscribe, follow, share, do all the internet stuff so that the internet can find you again when we go live or post content again, and so that other people can get help as well. So I'm going to go live on TikTok here. Joseph, what's up? How you doing? How's life been?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, brother. I was vibing with the music at the beginning. I was like, yo, this is smooth. And so, nah, man, I'm good. No complaints. Can't wait for tonight. For those of y'all joining live or watching this afterwards, I hope y'all are doing amazing as well. Let's get it.
Perfect. TikTok's live as well. Let's check Instagram, see how you guys are doing. What's going on, Instagram? Thanks for joining. On this episode of our pre-PT chat live chat, we're going to be talking about, is physical therapy worth it? And why are we talking about that? Because we have something coming up very soon. Just let's talk about what we got coming up very soon that you're going to teach them about.
Man, we have the Halfway to Debt-Free Summit / Masterclass this coming Sunday. I think we're already filled up, so we might have to open up a few more spots. So after tonight, y'all might not have any more seats left, but we're showing you how to cut your school debt in half, if not more, and how to get paid like a physical therapist while in school. And it's not theory, it's what we did. I mean, this is probably like step-by-step how we did it when we were students, and of course, how our students are doing it as well, because this whole money thing is a real issue, and we felt it this past weekend. We just did a keynote this past weekend in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and so with like 215 plus students in the room, and it was like, yep, everybody's dealing with this. The fear of not knowing how to pay off debt, is it going to pay off financially, all that stuff. So I'm sure we'll dive into it, but this coming Sunday, moneyinclasstraining.com is our class where we're going to teach you how to actually pull this off. So if you I think it's filled, but if you don't want to miss out, save your seat like now before we close it up. So that's it. Take it over, brother.
There we go. What's going on, TikTok? Hope you guys are doing well. If you have any questions, TikTok, sorry, I forgot to change the title on there, but we'll get to the questions at our Q&A session about 30 minutes halfway into the show. So if you have questions, you can either leave them on here or ask them again halfway through the show. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, if you guys have questions as well, do the same. Good to see everybody here. What's going on, Brianna? Brian A, what's up? And Esan, we'll get to your question at the end as well. But what we got going on in today's show is our segments. Of course, YouTube is beating everybody today. That's what's up. It's beating Instagram. It's beating out TikTok. TikTok, y'all usually come with it. So, I mean, I was live earlier, so I'll give y'all a break. But that's what's up. I like that. YouTube, this is slowly but surely working out. So cool. But here are our segments for today. What's happening in PT? We'll talk about what Joseph just talked about more in depth. And we'll talk about how to think like a physical therapist for segment two. We'll do our pop quiz. It'll be a little different today than other times, but I'll show you in a second. Then we'll go shortly into PT program updates and application updates. Then we'll talk about the main event, which is physical therapy worth it? Then, of course, we'll do our Q&A session about halfway through the show. So good to see you guys here. TikTok, YouTube's got 8 people on. Oh my goodness. Let's see what Instagram's got. 5 people on TikTok. What's going on? TikTok, what is happening? Oh my goodness. Y'all getting beat today. NSU Florida PT, what's going on? Good to see you guys here on Instagram. Good to see all the Instagram people here. So let's get into our first segment for today. We're going to talk about what's happening in PT. So this weekend, I'm going to have Joseph, you can take this away, but this weekend we were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at this FPTA student conclave. So kind of give us a background about what was happening and what you did.
No, it was cool. So we were at the student conclave this past weekend. We were asked to be one of the speakers, and they had many different speakers talking about different things regarding physical therapy. We were speaking about their future, right? So these are physical therapy students and physical therapy assistant students. And so we were talking about the future, and the future is all about, will I resent or hate my career or be frustrated with it because of this one big and not so little problem called school debt. And what I did, it was really cool. So what I did was kind of lift the curtain on the reality of what's actually going on debt wise. I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about money because they don't know how to deal with it. It's a little taboo. And if they hear someone talk about the dark side of student debt, they're never being shown a solution, right? That's why I become stressful, because it's like, oh man, it just makes me feel bad. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to worry about it. And so we showed them the reality that they're going to find out anyway. Like once you start working as a physical therapist or a physical therapy assistant, you'll find out anyway. But we were like, no, but there's a solution. And you can actually figure that out now as a student, because that's exactly what we did. And we shared our story. We shared stories of students that we had worked with, and it was really, really cool. So it was amazing just kind of watching the light bulb switch on and really them realizing that in order to enjoy, and we'll talk about it tonight, but in order for them to actually fall in love or at least enjoy the career they had dreamt about the moment they decided to become a physical therapist or a physical therapy assistant, money would have to be figured out. Otherwise, they would be in a whole lot of debt and doing things in their career that they might not actually want to do. Work in settings they might not feel fulfilled by, because those were the settings that promised to help them pay off their debt faster. And now you got someone 10, 15, 20 years in a certain setting that they're not even fulfilled by, which sucks, right? So how do I actually do what I want to do as a physical therapist or a physical therapy assistant and not have money be a big deal? Because that's the reason why a lot of people in healthcare are leaving the profession. So we'll talk about it more tonight, but that's what we dealt with this past weekend. It was really, really cool. Case, anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah. What was your favorite part about talking with the students?
Honestly, the engagement. that was really cool. So I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I expected like 50 people in the room. So when we walked in and there was over 200, I was like, oh shoot, like y'all are serious. And so it was the engagement, just watching everyone like be like, okay, no, I get it. Like when I would ask a question, they were responding. That was beautiful to watch, because we typically do stuff online. So you're seeing like the comments go crazy. Like when we do our master classes and you got like 200 people on there and they're like commenting like crazy, that's one thing. But when you're experiencing it in a room, in person, it's a different feeling. So that was really cool. Just to watch that it made sense, because it's a conversation that I kind of wish we had with our professors. And I shared a little bit of a story of how I brought it up to one of our professors and they shut it down hard. So that was really, really cool. And it was also cool talking to the professors afterwards and seeing that they actually understood. They were like, yeah, no, this is a real problem. And we're glad that it's starting to be solved for our students. So it was really, really dope. So great experience overall, for real, for real.
That's what's up. So for those of you who don't know, I'm going to give a little background. Let me share this screen here about what a conclave even means, what a special interest group even means and stuff like that. Because when I was a pre-PT, I had no idea. I was like, oh, this word sounds cool. I guess student conclave, special interest group, APTA. So I'm going to break it down a little bit, then we'll go into our next subject just so you guys know this for the future. And if this ever comes up in applications or any time in the future, you will look more impressive because you watched our show. And you're like, oh yeah, I remember pre-PT Grind in the chat live talked about this, where other pre-PTs who didn't watch our show don't know. So to keep it simple, overall, you have the APTA. That is the American Physical Therapy Association. That's like at the top. That would be like your umbrella. Underneath there, you have different groups within the APTA. You have private practice section, you have pediatrics, you have specialties, you have all these little things that will bore you if I just rattled them off. But inside of there, you also have student sections. So you have a student part of the APTA, because we are future physical therapists, or you guys are future physical therapists, and you should be represented as well. So there's a student part of it. And inside that student part, there are, of course, students in different states. So it gets broken down even more. Then within different states, there are different groups serving different purposes. And it gets broken down even more. So student conclave, let me go back here. Well, I don't need to show it. You guys saw it. Student conclave is basically saying, a conclave basically means like a private assembly meeting. It wasn't private, but that's kind of what it means. So this was a quote unquote private assembly meeting of students in Florida who want to make sure they're learning more about physical therapy in whatever capacity that Assembly was talking about. Then you have different things like a special interest group. If you ever hear that, it mainly means a group of people who want to achieve a common cause, usually with money behind it, and they have money to back it up. So if you ever hear that in politics or PT politics, special interest group really means they have a special interest. I need to, like, if Pre-PT Grind made a special interest group and we wanted to fund something through the APTA, we could make a special interest group. That would be that. And it can go on and on and on, but I did not know this as a student. I did not know this as a pre-PT. I had no idea because I was just trying to get in school. But if I had known this, who knows how much more impressive I would have been, or what schools I could have or would have gotten into if I had just known this. So that's what we got going on for this segment. So hope that was cool. Hope that helped. Let me share this real quick. Then we'll get to some of these questions. There we go. So if you are interested in money at all, go to Cash in Class University on YouTube. Are they seeing this? Oh, nope. You're not. You're not even seeing this. My bad. There we go. Go to Cash in Class University on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button and watch the video of Joseph's talk on Saturday. It's the talk we wish we had about money. And you'll see it right here. So go to Cash in Class on YouTube, type that in, subscribe, watch all the videos. And that's where most of our money stuff will be from here on out on that YouTube channel, on that Instagram. I don't know if I'm going to make a TikTok quite yet. That's a lot of work. But you guys know how the internet works. Just follow us, Cash in Class University, there and watch this video. So hope to see you guys there. TikTok, hope to see you guys there on YouTube as well. TikTok, we'll get to your questions soon, but welcome to the Pre-PT chat live. All right, next segment of the show. Next part. Think like a physical therapist. Think like a physical therapist. So we're going to answer this YouTube question real quick while I get it set up, Joseph, but or maybe it's not a question. It's just also preferable. Yeah. So go ahead and take that question away, Joseph, while I set up the next segment of the show.
I got you. Andrew says, I just got accepted and we'll start PT school in the fall. Andrew, congratulations, by the way. That's amazing. Super excited. What should I do to relax, but also prep for the next couple of years? Strategies to implement while in school, et cetera. So what should you do to relax? Whatever you enjoy doing. Right. So I have classmates who took trips before they started school. Just see it like this. Think of it like whatever program you were in, if it's like a 3-year program, 2-year program or whatnot, realize that for the next 3 years, you're going to be locked in. Like that will be your number one responsibility. So ask yourself, what are things I would love to do beforehand? Right. So like for us, we were doing trips. We were going crazy. Right. So some people went overseas, like whatever you want to do, if you want to like take snow trips prior to the winter finishing, whatever that is for you, use that to relax because that's just you basically having your outlet. I wouldn't overthink it too much because I remember a lot of my classmates were thinking, oh, like, do we have to start getting a head start with anatomy? You can, but they gonna teach you that stuff anyway in school. So just enjoy yourself is what I would say, because the time that you're about to have, you won't have it like this for a bit. And then strategies to implement while in school, that just depends on what we're dealing with. So we can do another session on like study strategies and things like that. But right now, I would just say enjoy the heck out of your life and celebrate it and do the things that fill you up. And I wouldn't stress too much about getting a head start with school because you're going to learn it anyway. And so for right now, that's the best advice I can give you without getting too detailed. Case, what are your thoughts on that?
I love it. That was perfect. Instagram, what's going on? Thanks for joining. 8 people on Instagram live. That's what I'm talking about. If you guys have questions, feel free to drop them below on Instagram and we'll get to them at the end of the show or any comments. And we'll talk about any comments on the Q&A section of the show. But this segment of the show, let's get into our game here. All right, let's share this. Can y'all see this? Can you see it? No.
Not yet.
All right. There we go. All right. So I think I got the timer right this time. So this segment of the show, we're going to be talking about money stuff in PT. So usually we do anatomy quizzes and stuff like that. But for you guys who can see the screen, Help me out with this question. I know the answer because I made it. But what is the average physical therapist salary for all variables? Is it 52K a year, 64K a year, 87K a year, or 102 a year? I'll give you guys a little time because I know there might be some delay. Let me know. 52, 102, 64, 87. What would you say?
My guess would be 87, just knowing that there's a range for sure. So I could be wrong though, but I would guess 87.
Right, there we go. 87 is the answer. Perfect. Next question. What is the average PTA salary?
Ooh.
Let's see if Instagram has any input. What is the average PTA salary? TikTok, what you think? Oh, TikTok's seeing a totally... TikTok, y'all get to see behind the scenes of all this. So you're seeing all the mess, all the messy vibes. But what do you guys think? Average PTA salary, 87K, 64K, 52K, or 102K? This is... this is attributing for all the variables. This is factoring in cost, location, setting, all that stuff. There is a standard deviation above and below and all that.
There's no way it's 52, bro. It's got to be 64. If it's 52, I'll be shook.
64.
Okay. All right. I was about to say, I was like, there's no way.
Yo. Next question. What is the highest paying state for PTs?
Ooh.
Highest paying state for PTs. What you guys think?
Ooh,
okay, wow. Instagram throwing in some answers there. There's a big delay on Instagram, so I'm sorry.
I don't know why California seems like an easy answer, but it could be wrong. Okay. It can't be Vermont. Alaska does have a lot of incentives. This is a good question, like a really, really good question. It's Alaska or California. I'm gonna go with, no, it's not, it can't be California. I'm gonna get it wrong. I'm going with Alaska. Let's go Alaska.
It says Alaska. TikTok says California. It is Alaska.
Oh, let's go.
There we go. Next question. Brianna said Hawaii. Highest paying state for PTAs. Brianna, how about this? Brian A. What you think? Highest paying state for PTAs.
Yo, if she said Hawaii the first time, I'm going with Hawaii then. I'm banking on her.
Okay. Let's see. Alaska was first. Yes. For PTs, Alaska is first. 11 people on Instagram. That's what's up.
That's wild.
What do you got on TikTok? Live on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. They dropped down to 4. Oh, you went back to last place. All right, what's your answer, Joseph? PTAs. Oh, you said Hawaii, right?
Yeah, I'm a rock with Hawaii. I could be wrong.
TikTok is saying Hawaii. Cali. All right, where are we going with Hawaii?
That's what I'm going
with. It is California for PTAs.
That makes sense. Got that wrong.
I think one more question. Ten people on Instagram. That's what's up. What is the highest paying setting in PT? What you guys think? Ooh, Brianna had a last minute change. Highest paying setting for PTs. What you guys think?
Owning a business.
Instagram, I'll wait for as long as I can since you guys are on a delay. Instagram is popping right now. Instagram is popping. What do you think? What do you think the answer is, Joseph?
I'm going to go home health. I could be wrong, but I'm going to rock with home health.
Well, you can't see the answers. TikTok. It might be in reverse. I'm sorry. Home health, Joseph is going with.
That's what I'm going with. What? It is
pediatric early intervention.
Really?
140, 150, 160.
Bro, why did nobody bring that up in PT school?
Home health is high up there. Pediatric early intervention, pediatric home health, all those. And if you think about it, I mean, like if it's one of your children and they need early intervention, you're going to pay.
That's if I need to pay that money. That's a good point.
So yeah, they're the highest, at least for the 2024 UpDoc Media info that just came out recently. So
wow, hey, that's cool. Y'all want to make some coin? There you go.
There are a lot of settings that are pretty high up there, above 90-ish to over 100K. So you guys can make some money. You guys can definitely make some money. PT is PT worth it? Going back to our title, is PT worth it? If you're getting 140, 50, 160K as an early intervention pediatric PT, I don't know. We got some arguments to have later. But next part of our show, let's do some PT program updates. Let's see what's been going on since before I went to Florida here. Let's see if they got anything new that's been going on. Share tab. And boom, there we go. All right, let's zoom in here. Community feed, PT cast directory, if you did not know. So Bowling Green Physical Therapy School has a info session on February 13th, 6:30 p.m. I believe that's next Tuesday. So if you're in the Ohio area, you can check that out. Colorado Mesa has a info session right now, or they just finished their info session. Franklin Pierce University in Arizona. Let's see what they're saying. Are you wondering what your professors could be like at Franklin Pierce? You can see what specialties are there and why they love Franklin Pierce. Cool. So if you're interested in Franklin Pierce in Arizona, you can check out their Instagram, and you can check out behind the scenes look in their Instagram as well. A day ago, Hanover College, Indiana, join us tomorrow. Well, that's today. So they had an information session today. Plymouth State. I want to say Ohio. Somebody help me out with that. Ohio. Oh, there it goes. New Hampshire. Never mind. New Hampshire. If you're in the New Hampshire or very northeast area, you can check out Plymouth State and see what they got going on. Priority application deadline is March 1st. So you do technically still have time to apply if you want to go there. University of Lynchburg, not sure where that is, but they have a deadline to May 1st. Very interesting, Joseph, based on what we heard from the faculty this weekend.
Very.
Tufts University in Phoenix, their deadline is today, or it just passed. And we'll do one more from 4 days ago. Let's see. Carlo University had their, we're excited for an early spring and early DPT application submission. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, if you're interested in Carlo, you can definitely check them out. Plymouth Rock, New England. That's what TikTok's saying. I think I said Plymouth for Ohio because there's some marching band connection there. So that's the thing that came to mind. So that's your answer, Brianna. But that was that segment of the show, just seeing what is going on out there in the APT, or sorry, not APTA, PT Cash streets. All right. Before we get into our Q&A session, TikTok, if you have any questions, Carlo's in Pittsburgh. Cool. TikTok, if you have any questions, drop them below. I'll get to them soon. Instagram, if you have any questions, you can drop them below. Thanks for joining us in our game segment of the show. Oh, Instagram is saying pediatric PTs make a lot of sense to make a lot of money because someone had a birth trauma with their son. So that makes sense. Instagram, if you have questions, you can drop them below. And after the main event of the show, we will then get into your questions. Have a Q&A session. Let's see how we're doing on time. 26 minutes, we're flying. That's what I'm talking about. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, we'll get to your questions right after this part as well. So is physical therapy worth it? Is physical therapy worth it? Let's get into this. I was going to do some PowerPoints for this, but didn't have time. I had to do some other stuff. But I'm going to talk you through this. It's not going to take long, but it's something I want you guys to think about. All right. So with the question of is PT worth it, let's go through the obvious first. Then we'll get into some questions I wish I was asked. So is PT worth it? Let's do some numbers real quick. Take out your notebooks. Take out your calculators. Take out your iPads and iPhones or whatever. We're going to go through three scenarios. We're going to have like an average control type of scenario because you guys know science stuff. You've been through science class. Then we're going to have a low-cost scenario like variable A, then a high-cost scenario like variable B. All right. So is PT worth it? Let's talk it through. With an average scenario, the average PT salary is like $87,000, which we just found out on our Kahoot game session, right? Give or take. As you've also heard, pediatric early interventions, people can make 160K, 150K. So there is some variation in that. So keep that in mind. Average salary across all variables, 87,000. Now the average cost of PT school, I'm averaging this out, and this is not factoring for cost of living. So please keep that in mind. This is averaging for private schools, all the locations, public schools, low cost, high schools, all that stuff. Per year is about $32,000 per year. So if you're going to a PT school, that's 3 years, that's about $96,000 a year, give or take, just tuition. Okay, everybody with me? Y'all understand? Instagram, y'all with me? I think we're good. Instagram, y'all okay? Does that make sense, Instagram? Perfect. So now with that said, if you're starting with if you're going to make an average salary of $87,000 and your cost of school, again, not factoring for cost of living, you do have to put that into account. But average cost of school is $96,000. Your ROI is very close to one. It's like 0.9 and some change. So now that we're actually thinking this through and not just saying, yes, it's worth it, no, it's worth it based on whatever crap you've heard throughout the years, and we're actually using our brains and doing some scenarios, is PT worth it? It's very close to a one-to-one ratio in this scenario. So for you guys, if something is close to a one-to-one ratio, I'm not going to answer for you. Answer for yourselves. Is that worth it? Let's just say you, on average, you're going to make 87K and you have 96K in debt. Again, this is just a scenario. And this is just in generals. We're keeping it simple. Is it worth it? It's very close to mathematically worth it. It's like an 11K difference. So next time somebody asks you, is PT worth it? Tell them, hey, okay, let's sit down and do the math. And then answer them. It is worth it or it's not. But let's just not say it's not worth it. Or let's just not say it is worth it. Now, next scenario. Let's do a low-cost scenario, meaning low-cost. Sorry, let's clarify. Low-cost meaning a low-cost school scenario. Low-cost school scenario. We're going to do 55K in total for the school tuition cost, not cost of living. Instagram, that makes sense. Cool. Instagram's with me. So we're going to do 55K cost of school. And we're going to do an income of 150K if you're a pediatric early intervention home health PT. Because it's out there. You can make it being an employee. I'm not sure of all those details, but that's the latest news. So you're going to school for a total of 55K. And you're going to make on average 150K as a PT. Your ROI, return on investment from PT school, is 2.7x. So you're getting a 2.7, almost 3 times return on your money in this scenario we're talking about now, in this low school cost scenario. So is PT worth it in this scenario? If we use our brains and do a little bit of math and think about this, is PT worth it in that scenario? I'm not going to answer for you, yes or no. You guys can answer. But we, again, we cannot just say, it's not worth it, blah, 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 we're not getting paid enough. Let's slow down here. Let's use our brains. Let's use some math. Because in some scenarios, it could be worth it. And we'll get to some stuff in a little bit that I wish I was asked. Now let's do the total opposite. High cost of school scenario. The highest cost school I've seen is like $226K in total. Okay. We're on a high cost school scenario. Let's just say you go to a school that costs $226,000 total. And your income on average that you'll make for the rest of your career is 70K. The return on investment you're getting in that scenario is 0.3. And that scenario, is PT worth it? I'm not going to answer for you. You guys are grown. You can make these decisions. And that scenario, is PT worth it? Now you can solidly, with common sense, answer these questions instead of just listening to anybody or just making a random assumption or just saying anything. You now know it depends on if you are going to make it worth it. So now here are some questions I wish I was asked when I was going through this stage of my pre-PT journey and trying to figure out if pharmacy was worth it, if PT was worth it, if this was worth it, if that was worth it, because this is a question you need to know. This is a question you need to think about, right? So here's some questions I wish I was asked. Well, is anything worth it? Is PT worth it? I don't know. Is anything worth it? Why are we keeping this to just PT? Is anything worth it? If we're going to ask these questions, is it worth it for you? Is PT worth it for you? I wish somebody would have asked me that. And I wish somebody would have asked me, what does worth even mean to you? Now, of course, everybody with this type of question, you're just automatically going to finances. And of course, that is of extreme importance since this is a profession. You're making money from this, of course. But outside of money, after that, what does worth it even mean to you? Once you have the money, let's just say you're out of debt and you're making 150K, what is the money going to do for you? What does worth it mean for you? What are you doing all this for? I wish these are the questions I would have been asked. Because we can't just jump to things when we hear this question and assume it is or assume it's not or assume it's not. Because for each and every one of you, you need to make sure it is worth it for you or that you're going to make it worth it. Because if somebody asks me, is PT worth it? Yeah, of course. It got me to be on this live stream with you. So of course, for me, it's worth it. But you go down to your local PT clinic and somebody now hates their job because of money, they're going to tell you a completely different answer. But my answer and that random PT's answer is not your answer. You need to figure it out for yourself and say, is it going to be worth it for you? And more importantly, are you going to make it worth it for you? Because it is your license, it's your money, it's your time you're spending on this product. So now next time you are watching this on replay or you're thinking about this question, I want you to ask yourself, just like anything else in life, I want you to think about, is this worth it in a sense of any other thing you buy? Is PT worth it? Well, is a house worth it? Is a car worth it? Is a ring worth it? Is a vacation worth it? Because PT is no different. It's just a product. PT school, I should say, is just a product. It's just a service. And it'll be worth it if you do the math and or make it worth it for you, just like anything else. So that's my little rant. That's my little take that I go over a lot on TikTok Lives when I get asked this question about, is PT worth it? And that's what I want you to think about. And that's what I wish I was taught and talked about too when I was a pre-PT. So Joseph, when you were, or kind of take, actually, Joseph, kind of take me back to when, if you even thought of this question, when you thought of this question, or just your overall thoughts on this money part of PT since we're doing a class pretty soon.
Man, I didn't think about this until my second year in physical therapy school. So I was already in, right? And we were going to a school that was what, maybe like 31K a year, right? 31, 32K a year, by that average that you talked about. And so for me, it hit me from the other side, right? And I'll share the story a little bit more on Sunday, but it was more from like no one had ever asked me that question before. I think I made a lot of assumptions about physical therapy, which just be mindful if you're making assumptions. Like even the number of like 150K that you were talking about, I would have been the student that heard that and said, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna be fine." And so like as soon as I hear the 150, I just assume that it'll just get figured out and I'll make a whole lot of money. But the majority of people want to be an outpatient ortho, which outpatient ortho doesn't actually pay that much. Like outpatient ortho is like 70K, 75K, depending on the state that you're in out of school, right? So I just wish someone would have just brought up the conversation as a pre-PT. Like I would have just loved to have had the ability to think it through so that I could have been like, okay, cool. Like mentally, I'm actually ready for it. Like I understand that this is going to be a real scenario afterwards. And whereas for me, I figured it out halfway through and it almost cost me PT school. Like I told the story a little bit this past weekend and I'll share it a little bit more this coming Sunday, but my grades spiraled. I was at the bottom of my class because I felt like I was in a cage. I felt like I couldn't like it wasn't adding up. It wasn't making sense. It wasn't giving me the freedom that I wanted. And so I assumed that because it was a doctorate, you get paid like a doctor. Like, I don't know. Like I was very oblivious. And it sounds like most of y'all are not as oblivious as I was. And so, so I'm just glad that y'all get to hear this a lot earlier. The other thing though, is a lot of times when it was brought up, I was always hit with the other side of it's not about the money. It's about helping people, where now that creates other like feelings, right? Where now we're being told that essentially like wanting more money is bad because it's selfish, it's greedy. And we'll break this down a little bit more this coming Sunday, but once you understand it, you realize that actually making more money has more to do with the problems you solve, the type of value that you provide for your employer, for the people that you want to serve, for your patients, all that stuff. And just doing it differently allows you to make that 150K, 200K, all that stuff. And so, so those were things that I really, really, truly wish were brought up earlier. But that's why you and I, Casey, love talking about those things way earlier. We talk about it with our pre-PTs. We talk about it with our physical therapy students that we work with. That's why we're talking about it this coming Sunday. But you talked about it like very, very clearly. It's just being aware. Like be aware, and then ask yourself, what is like what's worth to me, right? And then, am I going to ignore it, or am I just going to let it surprise me when I start the profession? So, those are the biggest things that I can think of. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I love it. I love it. That's why we're doing this show, and that's why we're doing the class on Sunday. So if you guys have this feeling now in your head, like, okay, I guess I should do something about it, or I should learn more about it. Or if you have been thinking about this all the time and you're like, well, I don't know if I should do PT because of the debt to income ratio, and I don't know if it's worth it, then you're in the right place and you should save your seat at moneyinclasstraining.com. We're having a class talking all about money, from scholarships to making money to the debt to how you should think about it to blah, 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 like you've never been talked about this to before. So it's February 11th, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Go to moneyinclasstraining.com. It's probably filled up, so you got to check if all the seats are taken. And we'll be, I guess, blowing your minds a little bit on Sunday. So can't
Be
wait to
dope.
see you guys there.
That'll be dope. It'd be dope. Yeah. I listen, this class has never filled up this quickly before. So clearly there's a lot of people that are interested in learning this stuff. So if you have not saved your seat, I'd just go there right now. Go see if there's any seats left. And if there are none, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. However, if there are a few, it's probably like three or five, I don't know, a few seats. And there was, I think we had a max of 150 spots. So So go save your seat. Once it fills up, then, you know, I guess that's the crew for this coming weekend. So, great topic. And we will be talking about this a heck of a lot more on our Cash in Class University YouTube channel. So like Casey was saying, go to that YouTube channel, go type in Cash in Class University. We have for years talked about the pre-PT side of stuff, but the money stuff, we're realizing more and more and more y'all want that. And it's not just you guys, it's students in other professions that are facing the same stuff, like pre-med students, students in medical school are facing the same thing. Students that want to be dentists are facing the same thing. Like, we can go down the whole list. So we're going to be breaking this stuff down at a very, very like clear level. So go to Cash in Class University on YouTube, go subscribe. And of course, go watch the videos that are there. And you get to listen to my keynote from this past weekend. If y'all want to start getting a head start on everybody else, and then let all your classmates know as well, so y'all can level up together. There's no competition in this. This is about making sure that we're all able to enjoy our careers for a very, very long time without money being an issue. So Cash in Class University, let's get it. Let's get it. Casey, take it over.
All right, let's do a little Q&A session. We're going to start with YouTube. Then we might go to Instagram if you have any questions, and TikTok. You guys know how it is. If you guys have any questions on TikTok, drop them in the comment section and we'll get to them. All right. So questions from YouTube. Let's start here. Let's see if we can get this one. What's up, guys? You're an international student from Brazil living in Ontario. I'm assuming Canada, London, Ontario. Do you think it's worth it to take an OTA or PTA program in college or go directly to university pursuing kines or exercise science? Okay, well, let's try and answer this question. It's a little different for international students, so keep that in mind, take that into account. But ultimately, it is going to come down to what you want, of course. And it depends how the schooling system is in London, Ontario. If you can go straight through, though, for the OTA or PTA program where you are, that sounds like a better option, because it sounds like where you are, that'll give you a job very fast, like automatically. Whereas I'm not sure how the kines or exercise science degree would give you a job or give you some income very quickly. So that's where I'd keep it at for that question. Any input there, or should we move on to the next one, Justice?
No, I think you crushed it. Great answer. Love it.
Cool. Next one for you. What degrees do you need to become a physical therapist?
So you would just need to have a bachelor's degree. Do it in something that's not hard because you're not being judged on how difficult your classes were. You're being judged on what your grade point average is as one of the metrics. And so just pick some. You might pick something that you can actually do something with if you choose to change your mind, or you might choose something that's super simple so you can finish it and then apply to physical therapy school. The biggest thing is you'll just need to take prerequisite classes. And so just look that up on Google, but all schools have certain classes that they require. That's like your bios, your physics, chemistries, things like that. Those prerequisites are required, and that's pretty much it. And then once you do that, then you would have to now get, at least in the States, you would get a doctorate degree. So that's grad school. And then you would be a physical therapist. In other countries, it just depends on where they're at. For some countries, it might still be a bachelor's degree. And for other countries, it's a master's degree. So it really depends on where in the world you're at. But in the States, it's a doctorate. You'd literally get a bachelor's and then you'd have a doctorate, which is typically, on average, it's a 3-year doctorate, but some schools it's 2, some schools it's 4, but it's usually 3. So it's like a 7-year from start to finish, it's about 7 years on average. So Case, anything else you want to add to that?
Second part to their question, is there any difference if they want to work with athletes with the major they should be?
Yeah, not really. Well, it just depends on if you want to go all the way through to becoming a physical therapist or not, right? So if you don't necessarily want to become a physical therapist and you want to, then I would use a major that gives you the ability to work with athletes, right? But if you're like, no, physical therapy is it, then finish physical therapy school, and there's certifications you can get. A big part of it with sports is just connections, right? So where you do your clinical rotations, but and there's other things that you can add, like strength and conditioning specialist, you know, certification. There's stuff you can add, but that's just dependent on what you want to learn more of and what you want to get better at. And but a big part of it in physical therapy is honestly just networking and connecting with people. And that's how doors open for you. But you won't have to go a different path necessarily if you want to become a physical therapist first. That works with athletes. Case, anything else you would add to that?
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. Instagram is coming with some heat. So let's get to some Instagram questions here. How do you make your application stand out when applying for schools? What do you think?
There's a few different answers to that. The first one is just know what the school actually wants and give it to them, right? So the number one way to guess as an applicant is to assume, number one, that what your classmates are doing is the right way, is to assume that what your advisor, who's never been a physical therapist or gone to PT school before, that what they're telling you is the right way. It starts with the school. Like, what do the schools want? Like, what are they saying they want on paper? Have I met that? What do they want beyond that? Have I met that? And then starting from there is really it. And then from there, yes, there's other things that you can do there's something that we call the human element, which is where now you're able to understand the school so well that you can weave that into your supplemental essays, into your interviews and things like that. And then part of it is also playing to the odds, right? So there's certain principles that we have found over the last decade. Isn't that crazy, Casey? We've been doing this for 10 years, like helping pre-PTs. It's wild, bro. It's wild. Anyway, so like there's certain things that we've noticed over the last decade that have just increased the odds of you standing out or you at least getting accepted. And one of them is picking the right schools and then applying to the right number of schools, right? And there's reasons for all of this. Part of it has more to do with the amount of time and effort it takes to really master what a school wants. And if you're applying to 20 schools, you just spread yourself thin, right? It's kind of like, it's like the question, is it easier to have 5 close friends or 20 close friends? The answer is 5, right? Because I can know them in and out and we can be super, super, you know, like locked in. If I have 20 friends, I'm basically a stranger, right? So when you're applying to a whole bunch of physical therapy schools, you're just tossing a generic application out there and hoping for the best, versus being able to lock in and figure out, okay, which schools give me the best chance of getting accepted? And then am I doing the things they're asking for? Am I controlling what I can control? Like, one of the wildest things that I see is like, if someone is like a low GPA student and they're like, Joseph, I see some of the stuff that I can control. I can control my prereq GPA, but I have 4 C's and a D. I don't want to retake those classes, Joseph. Can I get away with it? And I'm like, well, you're basically showing the school that you actually don't want it bad enough. And you're not realizing that the school has certain fears. They're afraid that you might not make it through their program. So we have to figure out how to appease the fears that the school has about you so that when they accept you, they're like, yeah, this is someone that we know can finish our program, can pass the boards, which is good for them. Because if half the class dropped out, that's not good. Like, you wouldn't apply to a school where their success rate was low. So that's where I would start. Case, anything to add to that?
No, you got it. You got it. Instagram is coming with some questions, so I'm going to make sure we get through all of them as much as possible. So next question, I put it in our chat so I can put it up in the screen so they can see. But from what you've seen with people opening their practices throughout the years, how realistic is the key point of this question, I'm assuming? How realistic is it to open your own clinic?
Realistic is an interesting word because realistic really depends on what you've seen before, right? So like something like for like my answer to that is it's very realistic, right? The only thing that makes it unrealistic is if you have no idea where to start, right? So it's kind of like you ask LeBron James, how realistic is it that he'll be able to drop 40 points in an NBA game? It's very realistic to him. You ask me that, I'd be like, no, very unrealistic, that's right? And so with opening up a clinic, it's very realistic. I have quite a few friends who have opened up clinics out of school. Casey has a clinic. So it's very realistic. The question is, am I willing to have people around me that have done it already so that I don't have to make the same mistakes over, right? So if you're trying to figure it out on your own, you might take a heck of a lot longer, which doesn't make too much sense if other people have already done it. Why not learn from them, right? Smart people learn from their own mistakes. Brilliant people learn from other people's mistakes. And so it's insanely realistic. But you need, if you want to do it right and you don't want to waste time and money, have guidance from people that have done it. Case, what are your thoughts?
So how realistic? I think you nailed it. Realistic. It's very realistic if you know what to do. But a lot of people in your situation, just like ours, when we were pre-PTs or PT students, we just had no idea where to start or what to do or how to even think about this because it's just a different world. It's business that just happens to be physical therapy, and it's not physical therapy. It's a business. Where the business, you're just providing physical therapy, and you can have a business providing ice cream. And if you understand how to run a business, you can do either one. But many people just assume that just because you open a PT practice, that it'll just run on its own. And many people fail that way. So is it realistic? Yes, it's realistic if you know what to do. So great question. Great question. Next one. As someone with a lower GPA, but is capable of much more, how can I prove myself to programs and get them to take a chance on me? How do you get them to take a chance on a low GPA student, Joseph?
Number one, pick schools well, right? So if you have like a low GPA, so let's say you have like a 2.6 overall GPA, but the school says they have a minimum 3.0 overall GPA requirement. We either raise that GPA, which is a little harder if you've already gotten your bachelor's degree for the overall GPA, or we just pick different schools because some schools don't actually look at the overall GPA, right? And so, but then I focus on what I can control. And typically it's my prereq GPA that I retake. So if I show the school that my upward trajectory with my classes is showing that the version of me now is a heck of a lot better or is a heck of a lot stronger as an applicant or as a student than me a year ago or me 4 years ago, then that gives them a much higher chance of saying yes to me. So it's a mix of school selection and really like showing them like on paper that you can actually handle it, right? Because the mistake I see students making is they're like, yeah, Joseph, I have these like low grades. Like I spoke to a student that had a 2.6 in both their prereq and their overall, and they were just going to apply with that. And I'm like, what is the school going to think? I don't know, Joseph. I thought like my interview would help me. I'm like, well, they're not even going to bring you in for the interview because they're already seeing you as a risk. So what do I shift? Well, I can shift my prerequisite GPA. Like one of our students, Taylor, she's actually a physical therapist. Now, first time she applied, she had a 2.7 prereq GPA and I think a sub 3.0 overall GPA, got rejected the first year. She literally was like, all right, I gotta like prove to the school. So she literally retook all the prereqs that were C's or below. She learned how to study better, got a 3.7 prereq GPA the second time, applied again, got accepted like it was nothing because now the schools were like, yeah, you're resilient and you're actually, obviously ready for the rigor of PT school. So, Case, what are your thoughts on that?
Let's see, let's scroll back up to the question. I was dropping a bunch of them in here. Low GPA. How do you get them to take a chance on you? You pretty much nailed it as well. You just got to make them feel safe. Like, why would they take a chance on you? Like, if you had your own school, you just got to ask yourself, well, would I accept somebody in my situation with a low GPA? Yes or no? Why or why not? And be realistic about it. Don't be like, oh, I can just show them. No, they don't care about that because they don't know you. So realistically, like, how would somebody put you at ease if your money was online, if your reputation was on the line? Just for accepting some random student with a low GPA? No, not me. No, I'm gonna, no. So that's just how you got to think about it. And once you understand that, then your actions start to change and you'll be like, oh, okay, this is what I have to do. So good stuff, good stuff.
And
Next.
if you want more help with that, and you're like, hey, I actually want like tailored help specifically for my situation, go to acceptedstrategy.com, acceptedstrategy.com, and you'll be able to talk to one of our team members directly, and then they'll either hook you up with me or one of our other team members to make sure that you're good to go. But you'll be able to talk to someone that can actually help you figure this out for yourself. So acceptedstrategy.com. Let's get it. All right, keep them rolling.
Before this question, Rico is saying, so in 12 states now, PTs are allowed to order imaging. I'm going to put that on another show topic, probably on our next show, but I didn't know it was 12 by now. I knew it was like two or three.
It's going up.
So I appreciate you, Rico. Let me take a little pause. Let me just put this in here. Ordering imaging. We'll talk about that on the next show.
That's dope.
Ordering imaging, 12 states. Joseph, you can see this question, right? What's your answer to this question?
Which one? How do I find scholarships? Is there a website? And when should I start applying for scholarships and applying PT school this August? Okay, great. So how do I find scholarships? So this question, we'll talk about this a little bit maybe during this coming Sunday's masterclass if you guys sign up for it. The biggest things is there's a few different places locally, the school that you're applying to, the state. There's a few different locations. A lot of it is just knowing where to look for them. We'll probably just have to do another session where we're like going like all in with scholarships. That's a much longer answer. However, it's in a lot more places than just the school. Let me just say that, because especially for grad school, like PT school, the PT program that you're applying to may have a few scholarships, but it's not enough for everybody to be able to get like full rides and all that stuff. So so that's where you have to just know where to look for them. In terms of when to start them, you can start now. I'll tell you what has worked well. We've had students who have waited until after they got accepted, and then they used the remaining time to start going all in with scholarships. So it's just a matter of how you want to allocate your time. If I were you, I'd probably just start sooner, or you can just say, you know what, I'm going to go all in with just applying to PT school. Like one of our students, Michaela Spencer, she did that. And then she got accepted on a January, and she had a few months between January and August when school was starting. So she took about 5 months and just basically treated scholarships like a full-time job, and got over $100K in scholarships. I think currently she's at $181,000 in scholarships she's gotten. So we'll have to do a longer session for that, but a great question. Case, anything else you want to add to that with the time we have?
No, not at all. Not at all. Next question. Any advice on what to ask and how to be more talkative during observation hours? What you think?
So what to ask and be more talkative? First of all, read the room, right? So if I'm trying to have like deep questions with the physical therapist when they're super busy, it might frustrate them because they're actually working, right? I would say, number one, do your research ahead of time on what the clinic is about and just know as much as possible, because you might see opportunities for conversation to take place. Number two, whatever you see, take notes on and then go research it and ask clarifying questions on it, right? Show that you're actually like invested. Number three, when you do get an opportunity to, you know, you like talk to the physical therapist, maybe it's the lunch break, to just ask them directly, be like, I know you're super busy. What's the best way to like learn from you? Like you just ask them how they prefer to actually teach. Do they like to be asked questions on their breaks? Do they just want you to be like close by and they're now going to explain as they treat the person? So it's just like just be human. Like the worst thing you can do is just stand in the corner, and then you stand in the corner so long that now it's awkward to start a conversation with the PT, which I've seen happen before. And that's where now you can shoot yourself in the foot. So there's a few different ways. Just but that's where I would start. Case, what are your thoughts?
So I like to, when I answer this question on TikTok, when I just rant a little bit, you just have to understand what you're going to observation hours for. You're going for you. You're not going to talk a lot. You're not going to be impressive. You're not going to make them like you. You're not going, that is not, that's all nice and cute. Sure, you can do that. You can want all that, but you're going for you and to make sure this career is right for you. So what I wish I knew, because I was just like that. I did not want to talk a lot. I was just there to get my hours, get me in and out. Don't give me all this BS. Let's go and get out, because I'm trying to get in. I don't want to be here at this boring clinic. However, if I had the advice that I'm going to give you, as to you need to go in there with the vibe or the thinking in mind that I'm getting out of this observation hours to know if I want to do this career or not, I would have had stuff to talk about without anybody giving me anything that I needed to talk about. Because if I was going in there like, okay, I need to find out if physical therapy is really right for me, I would have all the questions I would have needed. They would have just came,
That's a good point.
Well, PT right for me? Well, let me find out. How much do you make? What's your hourly? What's the PTO? What's HR like? What's this setting versus that setting? Are you happy? Are you not happy? What do you like about your boss? What don't you like about your boss? Who's the worst patient? Who's the best patient? Your questions would be on point, because your mindset, your perspective is totally different. Your perspective is not going in there like, I want them to like me. Your perspective is going in there like, I need to get something out of this. Let me take as much as I can and bounce. So since I need to take as much as I can, let's get it. Let's put everything into this so I can leave with all my questions answered. And once you do that, you're just going to naturally come off as impressive instead of trying to be. And that's the advice I did not have. So I would take that and run with
it. That's a good answer. Shoot.
GRE, this is kind of like a three-part question kind of, so I'm going to have you take this. So what resources should you study for the GRE? That's number one. How important is the GRE? and how does the GRE impact your application?
Depends on the school. Let's start with that. So it depends on the school. Some schools want the GRE, some schools don't. For the schools that do want the GRE, it's important to them, right? And the reason why is because there's some schools that still believe that it somehow is an indicator that of how you do on standardized tests, right? And so, and some schools don't necessarily believe that, right? So, so it's dependent on the schools. And so if you're applying to schools that do want the GRE, then yes, it's very, very important. And you need to know what their minimum score is going to be, right? So for some schools, it's a 294, for some schools, it's a 300 or whatever the case might be. So figure that out and then let's lock in and crush it on the GRE. So perfect. Now, in terms of resources, okay. So there's a lot of resources out there. The issue is a lot of us don't know how to use them properly, right? So I can name any company. There's Magouche, Kaplan, all that stuff, right? And they're all good. They're all fairly similar. There's courses out there. The only problem with a lot of them is they don't actually show you how to figure out what your biggest weaknesses are and how to tailor your study strategy to you, right? Because like if Casey and I were pre-PTs and we both took the GRE today, there's a good chance that we probably get certain questions right and wrong that are different, right? Like I'd get certain questions wrong that he'd get right and vice versa. It's just because we're different people. We have different strengths, different weaknesses, which is why a lot of times when we're like studying for the GRE and we have like the prep book and we're studying for it cover to cover, doesn't actually help. It feels more like we're cramming for a big final exam, or when we're using a lot of the resources that exist out there with like course, it's like course material to teach you the stuff. They're basically giving you everything in the order they've already predetermined without actually helping you figure out what your biggest weaknesses are. Does that make sense, y'all? Right? And so whatever resources you're using, just know that that's only part of the equation. The second part of the equation is I need to figure out where am I losing the most points? Which questions am I getting wrong? Especially when I do a practice test, which is why a practice test is probably smart to do at the beginning of your study journey instead of at the end. I just spoke to a student today who said that they're taking the GRE at the end of this month and they haven't touched the practice test. They've just been studying the templated stuff in the prep book and whatnot. I'm like, oh, we don't even know where you're at. Like how do you know what holes to plug up if you don't know where you're currently at? So take a practice test and then let's figure out where am I losing the most points? Where am I making the biggest mistakes? And then why am I getting those questions wrong? Because I either get questions wrong because I don't know the answer. Like y'all ever seen a GRE question where you're like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's a foreign question or just an exam question. Like you typically see it and you don't know where to begin. Like if I gave you a day, if I gave you an hour to figure that question out, you still wouldn't know where to start. So it could be that's knowledge error. It could be an application error where it's familiar, but you haven't mastered it. And so you tend to kind of second guess yourself and take a little bit more time than you need to, or it's an unforced error. Basically, it's a silly mistake. It's one of those questions you get wrong that you look after it and you're like, oh, I should have gotten that question right because I knew how to do it. I was just absent-minded. So that's the second piece. And that second piece, I haven't really seen taught well. And so for us, we just teach that strategy to our students. So if you want like GRE help, then we have resources that teach you that second part. And that second piece is really where the magic is at. And that's how you can create a solid study strategy for yourself. So if you want to learn more about that, just go to acceptedstrategy.com, schedule a session, a 15-minute session with one of our team members, and then they'll set you up either with me or one of our other team members to help you figure out if we can help with your GRE stuff and beyond. So that's my answer. Case, anything's out?
That was perfect. All right. Would you stand out more having a specialty in PT when looking for a job? Does that also apply to the type of pay you get as well?
Would you stand out more having a specialty in PT when looking for a job? As in, like, if you have a specialty in that job, like in that setting, would you stand out more? Correct. So maybe I'm misunderstanding the question, but essentially, if you're applying for a job and you already have experience within that type of setting, in any job, they're going to be more likely to hire you. Why? Because you'll transition easier. Like, you won't be as hard to train up. Like, it's pretty straightforward. Does that apply to the type of pay you get as well? The pay is really dependent on the setting, the type of job, and the problems you solve, right? So So just me showing up and saying, I have this training. Okay, like, how does that solve our problem better? How does that improve anything here? Or is it just a bunch of letters behind your name that make you look good, but don't actually improve anything in terms of how the business runs? And so, Casey, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I can go down a whole rabbit hole of that, but based off of how I'm understanding the question, that's my initial answer. What are your thoughts?
So if you want to get paid more, no, a specialty will not get you paid more in general. So don't get a specialty if you want to get paid more. Solve problems, like Joseph said, that'll get you paid more. But just having a specialty, no. You will regret it and you'll be like, oh, I thought it was supposed to get me paid more. No. But that's why you're asking the question, right? So your question is, would you stand out more having a specialty? No. When looking for a job? No. Does that also apply to the type of pay you'd get? No, 99% of the time. Unless you're an early intervention pediatric therapist, unless you electrophysiology or electrodiagnostics. I forgot the proper term for it. I'm butchering it. But if you do any type of like EMG type of specialty, or you have that specialty, that will get you paid more, because that is a very in demand skill and not a lot of people have it. It's just supply and demand, right? So any of those, like, or pelvic health, something like that, especially for males or something like that, and your skill is in high demand and not a lot of people have it, that could possibly, if not a majority of the time, get you paid more. But if you're like, should I get my OCS, CSCS, whatever cert other than that? No, that will not get you paid more.
Nope.
So yeah, good question.
Good question.
What's more important to schools? I hope I didn't miss a question. Pre-reg GPA or overall GPA?
The answer is both, so don't ignore it. Like, you know, both are important, but it just depends on how the school prioritizes those, right? So there are schools that we talk to who don't look at the overall GPA nearly as strongly, simply because they know that someone may be a non-traditional student who had a rough start to their academic journey. And so for those schools, they might look at the last 60 credits, or definitely prereq. Prereq is always going to be up there, because prereq is, those are classes that show them what you can handle. If I were to say which one is basically prioritized more, on average, prereq holds more weight, but both are important. If you just ignore one because you're like, Joseph said prereq, let me ignore the overall GPA, you might get like a slap in the face. If you are applying to a school that's saying minimum 3.0 overall GPA and you have a 2.7, they might be like, nah, we're good. they'll filter you out way before they have a chance to interview you. So the answer is both. So make sure you're at least meeting what they're asking for in both. In terms of where they hold most weight, most will look at typically like the prereq GPA with a little bit more weight, just because of what it means. But this is where now it would have to be a little bit more specific with the school themselves, because all schools have different reasons as to why they look at what they look at. And also, do they actually have interviews? Because the schools that don't have interviews are the ones that are way more picky with stats, because they're using more of what's on paper to help them make their decision. So it gets a little bit more complex than that, but that's where I'll start. Case, what are your thoughts?
Perfect. That was perfect. I'm going to get to Rico's question here. Then we'll come back to the final one on YouTube. So Rico is asking, what extracurriculum does the military give you, what extracurriculum does military DPT do to be able to prescribe meds? You want me to take that, or you know?
You got it.
Okay, so I'm not sure what curriculum or what else the military teaches you or teaches DPTs to be able to prescribe meds. I've never been in the military or anything close to it, so I'm not sure. However, in PT school, you do take pharmacology. And I'm sure in the military they give extra training so you're safe to prescribe meds if needed. My other assumption, this is just me assuming, that you might not be able to prescribe all meds. In the military, you might just be limited to a certain number of meds that PTs are more familiar with. However, I could be very wrong with that, and they could have, I don't know, maybe full jurisdiction over all the meds, especially if there's no physician in sight or no physician on the ship or no physician in a certain camp. They might just have full reign to do whatever they need. But I'm sure they give you some sort of extra training, making sure you're good and safe to be able to prescribe whatever meds that are needed as a PT in the military? That's a great question. I'll have to do some more research on that. Maybe that'll be a different show topic.
That's a dope question. I like it.
All right, last one. Can I get my hours paid? Meaning, can observation hours be paid? Does a job as a PT aid tech count towards hours? What's your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Short and sweet. Short and sweet. As long as the physical therapist you work with sign off on it, yep. It's a win-win for you. You get paid and you get your hours. Perfect. Good question. That's the answer.
Beautiful. This was great. This was great. Joseph, remind them again what's happening on Sunday as we wrap up the show.
Moneyinclasstraining.com, y'all. We're doing a session. It might already be filled, honestly, because we had like 3 to 5 spots left, you know, prior to this session starting. But we're teaching you guys how to cut your school debt in half and also how to get paid like a physical therapist while in school, because there's 3 ways to get rid of debt: choose cheaper schools, master scholarships, and learn how to make more money. That last one has no limits. And so that's the one that we're going to be spending most time on. And a lot of it is just because we would have wished we would have had that conversation earlier. And everything we're teaching you on Sunday is what we have done in our journey to do everything we're going to show you, how we've learned how to make hundreds of thousands of dollars every single year outside of our clinic job. And also have a good time, serve people, and also live life how we want to, and how our students are doing it as well. We have physical therapy students that are making anywhere between $2,000 a month and $23,000 a month. So it's some crazy stuff. Stuff that, like, if I heard it for the first time as a student, I'd be like, "What? Like, I've never seen this before." And it's real. So it's gonna be really cool. So that's the page. Go to moneyinclasstraining.com. I know that guy, that Joseph dude. Looking forward to seeing y'all there. It's going to be fun. The class filled up a lot faster than we thought it was going to fill up. So we're going to have a discussion to see if we're going to open up a few more spots, because we may need to, because it's looking like y'all want to learn this more and more and more, because the world we live in today and the cost of school going up, man, it's crazy. So we're going to have to be a little bit more intentional about it. Otherwise, it'll be a shocker when we get into the career. Case, anything else?
That is it. Let's sneak in one more question here. How much do they look at extracurriculars? I'm trying to get more involved, but haven't much. If you haven't got involved, will that affect your chances?
So with extracurriculars, and Casey can talk about this more, think more in depth as opposed to stacking on more extracurriculars, right? So when I hear that question, most of the times it's within the context of someone saying, like, I don't have enough, so I need to go find more, right? And so if you have like 10 or 15 really cool extracurriculars, that doesn't necessarily improve your chances of getting accepted. It's the depth, like, what did I actually learn from the experience? What leadership opportunities did I have? What were the challenges that I had? How did I get out of certain situations? Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to learn more about you, the person, right? And how that translates into you either being a better student or a better future physical therapist. So you might already have enough experiences or enough extracurriculars. You just need to learn how to package them differently and go deeper into that experience as opposed to stacking on more. So Casey, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's not about the number. So just do something you enjoy and something you like to do and something that's relatively easy for you. And you can make that stand out much more than somebody else who's trying to do something that's trying to look impressive and they don't like it or they hate it. Like, it doesn't make, the difference is what you get from it, not in the title itself. So that's what you should keep in mind. Fantastic. All right.
That was fun. It was cool.
That was fun. So, if you're watching on replay, if you're watching live, thank you for joining. Go to preptgrind.com, go to moneyinclasstraining.com, like, subscribe, share. If you're on YouTube, hit that like button. It'll be greatly appreciated so that you can see us next time we go live and so other people can see us as well. Thank you for joining on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well. We'll be back on very soon. But in the meantime, go to moneyinclasstraining.com to sign up for the money class on February 11th, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And let's get you accepted into PT school, and let's get you making a lot of money. Thanks for joining the show, and we'll see you soon.
Y'all have a good one. See you.